allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
At this time, we will do a silent observance. And now roll call.
Director Sasania?
Here.
Director Storm? Director Tornowski?
Here.
Vice President Ohilski? President Millage?
Here.
Thank you.
So, Vice President Ohilski is away on business, and Director Storm is absent because his father-in-law is very, very ill, and he's staying with his family at the hospital. I have an announcement. Item 7, D, E, and F are being tabled to next month's board meeting. That's because I feel that these items deserve the full board of attention, and three of us isn't enough for those items. Anyone who wishes to comment on this action may do so during public comments for item not on the agenda. All right. And now we will move to public comment for items not on the agenda. Good. So we have some new faces, or new faces to me, so you have 3 minutes.
Perfect. My name is Tony Salome. I've actually been here before. That's okay. I've only been here once or twice. I wanted to talk. First, I want to thank you all for coming out in this blustery evening. The only times I've been here is to talk about water, and here I am again tonight talking about water in this rainy night, but not about our drinking water, but about that beautiful ocean that we have right off our coast. I've sent materials to all the board, and I hope that you receive them. I emailed them last night. And I'm here tonight to ask you to help protect our coast. As many of you know, the Trump administration recently announced a plan to allow drilling off our coast. And I think it's an important issue for everyone in this room, certainly our community. We have as much to lose as anyone else if there is drilling off our coast. And a number of places up and down the coast, municipalities, agencies, have all been signing resolutions opposing the Trump plan. And I've come here tonight to ask you to do the same thing. In the material I sent you, there are sample resolutions and letters from a lot of different agencies. The city of Pismo Beach, Morro Bay just passed one, the city of San Luis Obispo, Grover Beach, California Coastal Commission, up and down the coast, everyone is supporting this, and I would hope that you would do the same thing and put it on your agenda so that you can review the issue and draft a resolution and hopefully pass that resolution. I could go on and on and on about the dangers of drilling off our coast, but I think you're all aware of that. But the Central Coast in particular has had its share of disasters relating to oil. You know, Santa Barbara, of course, Avila, Refugio most recently, and our coast is very precious to all of us, and we'd hate to lose it. It would be a disaster for our marine life, for our birds, for our tourism, for our economy, for our fishing. For me as a kayaker in the bay, I do not want to be kayaking in an oil slick. So I ask your support, and I hope you will put it on your agenda and take this seriously. Thank you very much.
Good evening. I'm Julie Tacker, and I often come to your board and ask you to curtail spending, be frugal, etc. So I like to look at your financials, and I was inspired after the Finance Committee meeting this last Monday to go back just a little ways and look at your adopted budget, look at your mid-year budget adjustment, and look at the financials that are presented for you tonight. And in all three cases, your budget number is different. I would expect a difference between the adopted budget and the mid-year amendments, but I would not expect that those numbers would be different from what you're considering tonight in your consent calendar. And the reason I bring it up now is I would like to ask each one of you to sit down with these documents yourselves and see what I saw. Someone has changed your budget numbers. Only the board can do that. That can only be done with your authorization. At that committee meeting, Ms. Osborne admitted to changing a budget number based on an expenditure from last year that was billed in this year's budget cycle. Again, that's simply not allowed. And it was a $5,000 line item. That's quite a bit of money to make a change without the board's consent. So it's just an exercise. If you find what I found, and if I'm wrong, please let me know. If I'm correct, then you need to correct management, because there are certain ways of doing government accounting, and all your decisions are to be made in public. So when these numbers are vetted amongst your board and in front of the public, we can see your thought process. We can see how you come to agree on approving financial documents. So again, it's just an exercise, and I challenge you to take the time to go through those very same documents that I did, and I'm pretty darn sure you're going to find what I did.
I'm worried about Lynette, and, well, I don't think it bothered Tony, but is she okay? Are you sure? Okay, I'm sorry.
She didn't know it's going.
No, I didn't.
I
just heard the gas.
Yeah. We'll adjust. Didn't intend to have that kind of
entrance here. Jesse, just let me know when we're rolling again.
Thank you. I'm Vita Miller.
Okay, thank you.
Long-term resident here in Los Osos, and I wanted to thank you, Ms. Millage, for pulling the Emergency Services Advisory Committee matter off the agenda tonight. I think that was a wise and proper thing to do. I hope to be here next month when it is on the agenda, but I don't know that for sure, so I did want to make a few comments in regard to it tonight. I've always been a major social justice advocate in my entire life. I think everything that we do in life is in regard to social justice. Every good thing that we can do, every good thing that we can promote, the idea of promoting a resolution to oppose Trump's ideas, to open the coastal waters to offshore drilling, I think that's a social justice issue also. The reason I'm here today, of course, is about the ESAC, the Advisory Committee, Emergency Services, which I was a member up for, I think, about 8 years, got reappointed the middle of last year. I never got to attend a meeting, not one single meeting, and then come to find out that there were a series of emails back and forth between this board in particular, I believe, Ms. Osborne and Ms. Millage, between you and the fire chief regarding eliminating the Emergency Services Advisory Committee and apparently making it clear that you felt it was irrelevant and not needed any longer. So I'm not going to address all the other issues today, but my main issue today is that's called a covert action. The members of the advisory committee were never told that the fire chief was being asked to submit an email and a letter saying that he would no longer support and would no longer send members of the fire department representatives to any of the meetings. And then that then gave you the opportunity to say, we can't have any more Emergency Services Advisory Committee because the fire chief has already put it in writing. I'm sorry. The members of the committee should have been told that this was going on, and that's my main point today. I consider it a covert action. I think it's unethical. I don't think it was needed. I think it could have been brought to the ESAC committee and discussed, and that's what should have happened. I obviously have some major points here about what our committee has done, and I'm going to leave copies here for all of you. I did leave a copy today with Chief Alex, and I'm hoping you will look these over and to take it into consideration before your next meeting. Thank you very much.
Do we have any more public comment? One more time. Do we have any more public comment?
Good evening. Lindy Owen from Los Osos. I guess my public comment is that I really see what the mandate of this CSD is to manage our community. And I'm pretty disturbed to see when they start eliminating participation from people that have been on committees and have volunteered their time to come in and learn the process and help guide the direction that this CSD Community Services District goes. So I'm not very happy about item 7 that's coming up, and I'm sorry I'm late, so I didn't hear if it got canceled. I certainly hope that it gets much more review than it's at this point. It's not a one-meeting decision. Mrs. Millage, thank you.
Hello. My name's Emily Miggins, and I'm a newer community member. I have been before the CSD before, and I just wanted to say that just as you know, rules of, I guess, engagement with the public, Vita, I support you in wanting to know about what's taking place with your committee. I think that's an appropriate kind of executive process to let people who have volunteered for years know what's happening. But I also want to say a big thanks to our fire department for the meeting in January that I didn't use the CSD Emergency Services Committee, and I also didn't know about the fire services, you know, that we had in our community. And Chief Alex and all the other chiefs, I wanted to thank them for helping me rally neighbors together to learn about the fire threat and how we might move forward in the reserve, in the Morro Dunes Ecological Reserve, and even on certain parts of county property. It was very hard because I called the CSD, and I've actually talked to Renee about it, and I couldn't get any direction on who manages the fire threat behind our home. And I walked into Chief Alex's office just down the block from me, and it was amazing what we did together as a community to learn, I think, about fire. And now we're going to have wood chipping. And I would like to say, just to update everyone, the snail biologists have been in the reserve counting snails. So, and I've seen them twice. So this is a good progress forward. And I just, again, want to thank our fire chief and all of CAL FIRE. I think you guys are doing a great job.
Richard Margaretson, two things. On the comment Julie made, she's correct. Those things should not be happening. And I remember after the budget was adopted, there was an announcement by management that the budget now was in the MIP program and everything was fine and we wouldn't have issues in the future. If that's in the program, then that program should be spitting out the exact budget numbers in every financial document you get for the rest of the year, except with the exception of those budget adjustments that you approved at the mid-year. Nothing else should change. You should be comparing everything to those budget numbers. Well, that's all I've got on that at this point. I've never been on the Emergency Services Committee, but I've probably attended 95% of the meetings. And I will tell you, as one of the advocates for getting CAL FIRE in here years ago, Steve Sawyer and I, in the background years ago, were trying to figure out if this would work for the community financially when the first fire tax came up. And we met with Dan Turner and Matt Jenkins. These gentlemen in the back of the room know who they were and are, and many people in this room know who they were. Their advice to us when we met with them in San Luis about the possibility of this was, you've got to get this started through your committee process in Los Osos. Those are exact words. And for those that were involved, that was an 18-month process to get the first fire tax that was going to be $125 defeated, so we would have the opportunity to get CAL FIRE to bid on servicing Los Osos, and getting the second fire tax back passed, which still, I think this last year, the CPI increase brought it for the first time over $80, I think, if I'm not mistaken, still a savings from the original effort of the CSD. None of that. And it was a brutal back and forth. There was a lot of fighting to get that done. But it happened through the committee process. It wasn't going to happen just by coming to CSD board meetings and having 3 minutes at the microphone. It had to happen that way. And both those gentlemen gave that advice at that point. And Phil Benares, the entire time he was here, and he told me repeatedly, he thought the committees were invaluable, not on all issues, but on watching the finances, making sure that the administrative allocation was right, which never would have happened, I don't think, if it hadn't been for the committees, and other issues that I'm running out of time to talk about. But
thank you.
That all happened because of the committees.
Thank you. No one else? All right, we'll move on. And the first thing on the administrative and committee reports is the fire department report.
Hello, good evening, board and people in the audience here. So today I'm presenting, or at this moment, I'm presenting our normal chief's report for January 2018. Emergency activity for Station 15 in South Bay, we responded to 115 calls in January. 89 of those were medical aids, 13 incidents reported as a fire, and 13 as a public service assist. Company 15 was also called to cover the station and responded to emergencies in the month of January for a total of 11 times. Administratively, our duties at Station 15 were to get the completion of the South Bay Reserve firefighters successfully completed through their annual respiratory protection plan. This consists of a health physical, and it moves them forward towards a fit test for the fire apparatus for those SCBAs, the breathing apparatuses. They were successful in that and are moving forward in their training. All the reserves signed in January signed the reserve employment contract, and those employment contracts were added to their personnel files. There's eight prospective Station 15 South Bay Reserve firefighter candidates continued steps towards becoming Los Osos CSD employees. In January, all of the cadets successfully completed their rookie task book and signed up for their shadow shifts. Those are completed, and those folks are now rotating in on shifts. In January 15th, George Mert had been with us for 3 years. He resigned from the community. George accepted a permanent firefighter position in the city of Bakersfield. And in his resignation letter, he stated that he was going to truly miss his time at Station 15 and being part of the Los Osos community, and that he really enjoyed that, and it helped make him a better firefighter and start his career. On January 29th, 2018, Christian Evers also resigned from his services at the community of Los Osos. Christian accepted an internship at an international art studio in Guadalajara, Mexico, where he'll be for the next year soul-searching and hopes to come back. He was also, something to note would be Christian Evers was also awarded the 2018 Reserve Firefighter of the Year Award from his peers. So I definitely, he will be missed and hope he comes back. Special programs and projects. South Bay celebrated a success of 2017. This was our annual meeting where we get together and honor each other for services above and beyond. And also at that meeting, we awarded, I want to make sure I get this right, Stanley Craig and John Robinson were recognized for the department for their 10-plus years of service for the Los Osos community, and they're still active today. On January 23rd, South Bay Fire Station was visited by the Village Preschool. This is always fun for us, 40 kids running around our fire engine, and we showed them the fire truck and different educational programs that we talk about, stop, drop, and roll, and we, you know, we do our little spiel. And so that went very well. Training was heavy in our months. These months of the winter months are heavy for training for us. Fire Captain Chesick, along with 25 other folks in our department, are in their what's called continued professional training. That's where we get together for 72 hours and hit all the objectives for our training, both annually and for the year. That's hazmat training, CPR, confined space. We talk about tactics. This year's tactic was active shooter, and so we're running all of our folks through the active shooter program and to be better prepared for that should that occur. On January 30th, Denver Chavez provided an extinguisher flash pan for the Estero Bay CERT team, and so we're available for that, and definitely want to teach people the pass, point, aim, squeeze, and get the for putting fires out with the fire extinguisher. So we put them through a little drill. So in fire prevention, so in January, we also did the Let's Talk Fuel Reduction Project. And back when the Thomas Fire, all the smoke came over on us on that Saturday, we began, our phone lit up pretty heavily from residents in the area wanting to know what we were doing to mitigate the hazard around Los Osos so that that type of Thomas Fire event doesn't occur here in Los Osos. As I'd reported to the board on a couple occasions, it's definitely a passion of mine, and I come from that background of grant writing and fuel reduction. I was excited to see the public interest in that. We hadn't heard from that before, and when Emily approached me, she seemed to be very motivated, and so I took that motivation, and she wanted to do a meeting at her home. We offered to do that at South Bay Training Center. And it immediately outgrew your home, I think, when the feedback came back. We filled South Bay Training Center and or Sunnyside School in the auditorium. There must have been at least 60 folks that came from both the community and also agencies, U.S. Department of Fish and Wildlife, as well as CAL FIRE, Bruce Gibson's office, Monning's office, Carbajal's office, and so it was good to get everyone together to just talk about what are the issues. And out of that come some action points. What can the residents do? What can we do as agencies? And how do we get together and make these, bring these all together? And I think it was a very successful meeting. With that, I'll close my comments and any questions.
Actually, I have something I'd like you to elaborate on.
Sure.
I attended the first Fire Safe Council focus group meeting here.
Yes, ma'am.
And I would like you to explain to folks what that is. And I believe the next meeting is March 15th. Is that correct?
I think it's the 15th, I hope. Yes, March 15th. So the Los Osos Fire Safe Focus Group is a local group that is put together under the umbrella of the countywide Fire Safe Council group. Their focus is to look at ways in which to improve community fire protection through means of grant writing, public education, shaded fuel breaks, and different opportunities in which to provide funding to applicants that can provide those goals for that community and for the Fire Safe Council in general. Has been in Los Osos for over 12 years, I think, and has been part of that since, I think, 1996. CAL FIRE plays a staff role in that, and we have a group that is assigned to South Bay Training Center that handles that. Captain Fowler and Division Chief Peters play a staff to that board, and they've been very active. I also was staff to that board for several years, and so I know the processes, and I've been applying for applications for this community also for fuel reduction. And I'm pleased to announce that we just received a $22,000 grant for our chipping event that's coming in May. And as we get details for that, we'll get to you.
And these are public meetings, correct?
They are public, yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
End of report.
I just want to say thank you for jumping right in on that issue, and thank you, Emily. I'm amazed you got that many people together that quickly.
Thank you.
Sergeant Scotto?
Evening, everyone. My name is Sergeant Doug Scotto. I work out of the, well, for the past year, I've been working with Commander Bogue out of the Los Osos substation here. And as of about a month and a half ago, now I share my duties between our North substation in Templeton and here in Los Osos. So I spend about 2 days a week here and 2 days a week up there. So Commander Bogue is not able to attend tonight because he is currently working our watch commander's desk, which he does every 6 weeks or so. He gets slotted for that for a week. So I brought the stats tonight for the month of February, and this encompasses February 1st through the 28th. Calls for service, we were down from last month, 187 total for the month of February. That was down a few from 221 the month of January. Suspicious vehicle, subject, circumstance type calls, we were almost half of what we had last month. We were down to 25. Phone scams, we had 7 of those. It's tax season, so what do you think is our biggest phone scam? IRS, or people claiming to be the IRS. So don't fall for that. One regarding medical bills, one claiming to be PG&E, and one claiming that the person's grandson needed bail. So they call, try to get illicit money out of you to get your loved one out of jail. So those were 7 different phone scams. We had 5 vandalisms, 1 cruelty to animal call. This was regarding possibly underfed cows. The cows were fine. Thefts, 9 of those. And disturbing the peace, down just slightly, 36 disturbing the peace type calls. Notable incidents, quite a few. We're still, even with 187 calls for the Los Osos, pretty busy. On February 4th, we had several people getting penis photos sent to them. We were fortunate enough to identify that person, and I should have let that sink in longer. Some say penis, but most people say penis. We're fortunate enough to identify that person, and that the phone number returned, who it returned to, and we're conducting follow-up with that investigation currently. On the 6th of February, in the 1200 block of 2nd Street, a 29-year-old son was arrested for resisting arrest and making criminal threats against his mother. Also on the 6th, at Napomo and Willow, $500 damage was done to a fence with a vehicle. This was an act of vandalism as opposed to a traffic accident. So someone purposely drove their vehicle into this person's fence. On the 7th of February, 700 block of 6th Street, a purse and other items were stolen from an unlocked car. So again, just a reminder to you, many of you have probably lived here in Los Osos for a period of time. My parents live out here. Of course, they have me as a son, so they know it's not just all roses and cherries all the time, right? Lock your vehicles. Lock your homes. Just because you live in a quiet neighborhood doesn't make you unsusceptible to people, you know, just taking advantage of your car's unlocked and you left your purse sitting right there. It's easy. It doesn't make any noise. Okay, there's no window smash. So lock your valuables. Take your valuables inside your house, but if nothing else, if you're going to leave them in your car, lock your car and keep
Sergeant?
Those. Yes.
Sergeant, would you face us and the microphone, please?
Sure.
So that we can get your...
I don't talk loud enough? You want me to talk louder? So lock your things in your car.
Yes, that's what I want.
Okay, otherwise you're just inviting yourself to be a victim, all right? So don't do... Please do that. Helps us out a lot. The 2100 block of Palomino Drive, another fence was damaged by an unknown suspect. 2000 block of 8th Street on the February 15th, a man was arrested for elder abuse when he pushed his 71-year-old father in the face. Out on Clark Valley on February 16th, we had a vehicle stop that was reportedly sticking a rifle out from one of the windows. It turned out to be two juveniles with a BB gun, and they were firing it from the vehicle, which is a crime. Deputies saw the car, or the reporting party that called that call in, because I was actually at that call after the fact, saw these subjects in the vehicle doing that. Cult was able to follow it for a short period of time, get a good description and a license plate for us, and one of our deputies coming up South Bay saw it, and we got enough units behind it and effected a traffic stop and went into a high-risk stop on it, and again, it ended up being a BB gun, thankfully. On the February 19th, 1100 block of Ramona, a family dispute turned into a $1,300 vandalism by the son. But the father just wanted documentation for that event and not prosecution, so there must have been some damage done inside the household. On February 19th, in the 1500 block of Napomo, a 71-year-old mother was assaulted by her adult son, who grabbed her wrist, causing contusions. He was not present when we arrived, so we submitted the case to the DA's office for elder abuse filing. On the 21st of February, 400 block of Manzanita, a vehicle parked in a driveway was vandalized. The suspect dumped a gallon of white paint on the roof and on the sides. And we're unaware of what the suspect's motive might have been, but I would imagine that person probably had a beef with whoever's car that was. On February 24th, in the 1200 block of 4th Street, an unknown suspect threw a rock through a resident's window for unknown motive. And two more of note. On February 24th, in the 1500 block of 9th Street, unknown suspect smashed a pumpkin. I'm surprised there are still pumpkins around. And a potted plant in the victim's front yard for an unknown reason. And last but not least, on the 27th, just a couple days ago, in the 300 block of Travis Drive, a 38-year-old male who is bipolar named Mark Bresler has not returned home and will not contact his parents. And that's since the 27th at 1:30. So he is listed as a missing person right now. We don't suspect any foul play, but if you happen to see him, you can certainly give the sheriff's office a call and report that. And, of course, you know, with the inclement weather, obviously concerned about his well-being because we don't know how he's dressed or anything like that. And he's described as a white male, 5'8", 127 pounds, with brown hair and blue eyes. And, again, I do not have a clothing description on him. Busy month, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so remember, lock your cars, Don't accept penis pictures on your telephone. And, things happen. But we appreciate you folks reporting things. If you see things that are suspicious in your neighborhood, by all means, give us a call. You know, don't think about it the next day or call your neighbor. You think I should call that in? Better to call it in when you think it's occurring or you see something occurring so we can get deputies on scene and address it and hopefully, you know, catch persons while they're in the act.
Any questions? Thank you for an extremely colorful report.
You're welcome.
Can we
get it's really hot in here, so you got me all ramped up, so it's... It's really hot in here, but you guys aren't wearing all this gear either. It's really hot in here.
Okay.
We're good?
Yeah.
Yes. All right. I'm going to stand back here and take up my post.
Okay. Okay. You can open the door a little bit if you don't let it block.
I'll stand right in front of it.
Excellent. Perfect. The utilities department report. See if you can be as funny as he is.
I can't. Sorry.
Come on, man. You can do it.
That's all the laughs you're getting for tonight. At least for me. Good evening, Madam President, board members, members of the community. My name is Jose Acosta. I'm the utility manager, systems manager for Los Osos Community Service District. And tonight I'll be presenting you with the utility report for the month of January. We'll start with water production figures. As you can see, 12.8 million gallons were produced from all well sites. That equated to a daily demand of about 413,000 gallons. And this is about a small increase of about 4.5% from last year based off of these figures. I do want to report that the gallons per day per person per capita, which is the number we use to calculate residential use, had dropped back down to about 55.2 gallons per day per person. As I mentioned, I know you guys, Los Osos Community Service District, and I mention this every month, but just want to keep mentioning it because we got to keep conserving water. You guys did one of the best jobs in the state of California when it came to conservation a couple years ago, down to about 50 gallons per day per person. And that creeped up into the high 70s in the last few months, and so it's good to see that number dropping back down and hope to see that as a continuing trend. The next portion is the production and runtime hours by each well site. If you look, you can see the numbers based off of 2017 and 2018 for each well site. Some did present an increase in production based off of last year's figures, and some do have a decrease. That's for both the water produced and for the runtime on the motors. The water billing information. We billed approximately 11.1 million gallons of water to the customers, and that was water consumed between the months of November and January. This generated about $182,000 in revenue. Next, we'll report on the department operations and maintenance happenings in water, the water distribution and treatment operators perform their daily, weekly, and monthly water quality sampling and analyzing and reporting for all well sites and throughout the distribution system. Monthly meter reading, meter changeout program. Currently, we're at a pace of about 70 meters per month, depending on how busy that month is. But we're ramping that up and hoping to get that ramped up in the next couple of years. We had our lead tech attend a trench safety course in San Luis Obispo. This presents us with a competent person for trench safety when they're out, the gentlemen are out in the field. He was trained in soil, excavation, sloping, and proper techniques on digging out the water mains and making those repairs. They had some chlorine tank maintenance at our 8th Street well site. And we also began implementation of our computerized maintenance management system. This was a system that we purchased this past year with this budget. I know when I got here, Renee was pretty steady about getting that implemented. She pointed me in the right direction. We got the crew going. And now the crew is inputting all our materials, assets, and equipment into this maintenance program. This is going to assist in improving inventory tracking. And it's also going to improve a predictive, preventative, and corrective maintenance for all vehicles, equipment, and also for maintaining the distribution system itself. Valves need to be exercised, hydrants need to be maintained, water quality. So this will bring up those reports. It'll bring up alerts, making sure that they're doing them in a timely and efficient manner. Reporting on the drainage. We performed some drainage basin maintenance at the Cabrillo Basin last month. We had a call out during the storm of January 8th and 9th where we received overnight 3.2 inches of rain during that storm. We had our crew out at 8th and El Moro, and it was getting pretty hot and heavy out there, but they responded and they took care of the situation, preventing any damage to any personal property and at that intersection. So I do want to commend them on their efforts when they do get those call outs. They do get called out at night frequently to make not only drainage repairs but also water repairs out there, and they try to do it in a manner to least interrupt the public with their water service. We also completed installing the and replacing the large transfer pump at the 8th Street drainage, which is definitely going to help if we get any more of those rains, and reconfigure the existing security cage at the 8th Street drainage to fit that new pump. Reporting on Bay Ridge Estates and Vista de Oro collection systems, those contracts were taken to the Board of Supervisors. They were reviewed, and I did get a call just this past week on Tuesday from the county staff saying that they did accept those and they have commenced their maintenance and cleaning up of the collection system up there. So those are now in the ownership of SLO County. Okay. Rainfall totals, as you could see, from April through March is when the county maintains its chart, and we've only had about 5.51 inches through the end of January. We had very minimal rain in February, so that number isn't going to increase very much. We got to hope for a miracle March here. Hopefully, get some heavy rains coming in. But that's all I have. Do I have any questions from the board? Yes, sir.
Report on production and runtime hours. The two different charts you have list different years. One's 2017-18 and one's 16-17. Is that just a typo?
That's just a typo.
Okay,
I apologize.
It looks like
for that.
The proportion between the numbers was the same percentage difference.
Yes, that's just an oversight and a typo. Okay. I apologize for that.
Any other questions?
Looks great.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. General Manager Osborne.
Good evening, Board of Directors. I'm Renee Osborne, General Manager. Los Osos CSD Low Income Community Fund, an update. We've received a second installment of funds from the Community Foundation in the amount of $30,000. I was concerned with some of the installments as they've been going on, that they might be more expensive than predicted, and because of some special circumstances. So I asked for $30,000 instead of $20,000. It takes a lot of time to ask the foundation for funds. So if we would have a shortfall, we would have to pay it out of our own pocket, and I didn't want to mix money. So total amount of money we've received from the Community Foundation is $40,000, $40,000 total. As of this report, there were three of the six sewer levels were completed and approved by the county. One other location was still waiting for inspection from the county for a total of four. All three locations had their septic tanks cleaned and sealed. The fourth location was planning on keeping their septic tank for gray water, but Al Septic deemed the tank unusable. So that was one of the unexpected amounts. Payment was forwarded to the three contractors.
Any questions on that before we move on?
Okay. Conservation campaign. The Los Osos CSD Board, the Chamber of Commerce, and Golden State Water Company have chosen six entries for the future logo representation of the Los Osos Community Conservation Campaign. The children's parents are being informed currently. The contest winners will be awarded at the Los Osos Baywood Park Chamber Business Expo on March 23rd. And we are waiting to receive the videos from the middle school. We hope to have them those by the end of February. I actually received an email tonight that they are almost done, so we should have them next week. Depending on how many I get, I'll again try to ask the board to come in and check them out, and we'll pick from there and see what we need to do. If we only have six, then we'll just display them at the expo. But I'll keep you guys informed depending on how many we get. We have almost met our goal of $2,000 towards sponsorships. We are short $300. I heard that the Rotary recently was going to donate $100, so we're short $200. So if there's any business or resident interested in contributing to the conservation campaign, please contact the chamber. Fire staff has been working with fire staff on the mid-year adjustments and the reserve funds. We have also been working on the reserve totals to prepare for a transfer of the fire reserves to their own bank account. And I've been working with the fire chief and staff on upcoming chipping events. Bookkeeping. So we were inputting the mid-year budget adjustments. It is not a simple process. And so going back and making adjustments to it after we've already put in the mid-year adjustments is not a simple task. So at that time, as we were putting in the mid-year adjustments, we had some issues come up, which I brought up to UAC myself. And I mentioned to UAC what the changes were at with water and drainage. And at the Finance Committee, I brought up all of the changes that we had to make, little ones in admin, which I'll go over, and basic little one in drainage to go over, but a major change in water because we had two situations come up. So I'll get back to that. But both of those changes in what would already been approved, like I said, I brought up to you FAC and UAC. There are major changes to the water fund and the fire fund under the employment categories due to the increase in CalPERS retirement unfunded accrued liability and the state and federal taxes. That equaled $25,000. The big hit there was in water, of course, because that's where the majority of our staff is. Both funds had to make these adjustments. Water also had an adjustment under disposal services of $10,000. So, again, both items, although large and not something that we were planning on, were items that no matter what, we have to pay. It's not some spending spree that I was going on or anything like that. It's CalPERS. We have to pay that. And disposal services at Bryan, we have to pay that. So knowing how hard it is and how easily mistakes can be made when you're inputting this budget, I just decided, you know what, we're going to put it in because it has to be done. And I would let the board and all the committees know that I made this change. So that's why that got done like that. The mid-year budget has been inputted into MIP. It's when you look at the revenue versus expenses, it's what's called revised budget column. It is now incorporated into the revenue expense report. The auditor and the bookkeeper and I have come to an agreement on how to list the reserve accounts in MIP. In this financial report, it's at the very end. There are two additional balance sheets. One of them is for the fire reserve accounts, and one of them is for the water accounts. This will assist the district in keeping better track of the reserves and a more transparent report to the public. You'll be able to see, most of the time they should just be dormant every month, but you'll be able to notice if money's been used in any of those accounts. Most of the time, for water, we really don't go into the reserves till the very end of the month, end of the fiscal year, sorry. Fire, probably the only time you would see something during the year is if they purchased a truck. So you'd be able to see that. But at the end of the year, when money needs to be moved in or out, we would present the board, FAC, UAC, depending on who's using it, a list of the transactions that we want to make. And then at that time, the board can approve or whatever, make whatever adjustments they want. And that way it will be done in front of the public and you'll be able to see money coming in and out of those reserve accounts. So we didn't have that before. One of the things that was happening that I'll go into when we talk about FAC is that when you guys create resolutions, no matter how far back you go, when auditors always ask for the resolutions that happen at board meetings, they go through them and they check to see what kind of financial changes you guys are asking for. So at the end of every year, a fiscal year, they make sure to see what kind of transfers you asked, and then they do them. So I will be talking about one of the questions about water stabilization and how we ended up with that much money in that account. And if, as you guys see on your table, and there we had copies back there,
we've been making, the bookkeeper and the auditors have been making this $32,000 transfer into that account, and that's how we ended up with that kind of money. So anyways, I'll get back into that, but I just wanted to make sure you guys understood that. And we also have the MBS report attached. There's nothing we need to do. Attached is the fiscal 2017-2018 annual report that MBS prepared for the Wastewater Assessment District 1, summarizing the current fiscal year's levy information and the district's financial information from the prior fiscal year. This report is simply for the district's reference and does not require any action on your part. This report in its entirety is 121 pages. So I just grabbed the summary pages. If you want to see the whole 121 pages, we do have it posted on the website if you want to print that up. And that is all that I have for the general manager's report, unless anybody has any questions. Questions? Okay, Director Susana, do you have any questions?
No.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Bender.
Good evening, Larry Bender, member of LOCAC. Our past meeting, we approved, or didn't approve, but recommended approval of some cell towers in Los Osos to make emergency services and cell phone connections better. It's by Verizon. I don't know if you want to pack or not, but we all felt for emergency services. The fire department, Cal Fire, was there, and anything to make their job easier is easier for us, so we did that. Had a couple of vacation rentals come up. Again, we're remaining neutral on them, but they were reminded to, if they're going to use their house for vacation rentals, to get licensed or get your permits for it. And so we went ahead with that. We're still kind of working on a plan to of ideas to control vacation rentals as before they become an issue here in Los Osos, but I'll keep you updated on that. That was pretty much all that came up at the meeting. Any questions? Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have someone here from the Chamber of Commerce? Okay. Utilities Advisory Committee report. Director Cesena.
We met about a week ago, a little over, and had the usual updates on the capital improvement program and that kind of thing. Nothing out of the ordinary until we got to a requested agenda item. This was a follow-up from the meeting before that we talk about the contracts the county is preparing to send reclaimed water out to dryland farmers. And we didn't really get to discuss that because it couldn't be agendized because it wasn't in our work plan. And so we had a little discussion on work plans. And I see that that's agenda tonight, but I forgot which numbers you were pulling for.
That would be...
That would be F, 7F.
Yeah, so we pulled...
D, E, and F,
yes.
But I do believe, Director Zasenga, that that particular item, you could ask the board right now that you guys would like it on your... Like, that's not part of that. I mean, there's other things you guys want, but, I mean, since that's an emergency for you guys, you can ask for that.
Ask for...
To be... put the...
Agendize...
To put the contracts on your work plan so that you guys can discuss it at your next meeting.
Okay, I wanted a bigger discussion even about what constitutes a work plan and whether issues like this that come up, you know, the general discussion we had at our meeting. A work plan to me is a capital improvement program. It sets out your goals for the year, but you can't be so inflexible that if an item comes up that really isn't involving capital improvement, it's not part of our agenda, it's something we have to respond to, react to, do we have to add it to a work plan? I mean, this county contract, I'm not sure how that fits into a work plan. I don't know why we can't just respond to it, agendize it, and respond to it without putting it in a work plan. And somehow I got into that discussion, and we pulled that item.
That's board.
I'd like to agendize that.
Thank you.
Well, that would be included in the description in the item that was pulled tonight. So the same description comes back at the next meeting, which I suspect is the intent. Then everything that has to do with setting work plans is up for discussion and decision by the board under the description as it exists.
We actually have a precedent that we've set that if a committee wanted to add something to their work plan during their discussion committee discussion, that especially if your whole committee voted and said they wanted you to go to the board, that we have something that the president we've set that if he would like that, you guys can say yes, you can add that. Well, I mean, you can't go into all the things they wanted, but they'd like to have this on their work plan so they can discuss it next month. And so we've set that precedent where you can do that.
Okay. He's telling me no.
Well,
yeah. I hate to be the darn lawyer in the Brown Act, but you can't make a decision on an item that's not on your agenda. And so we've adding something to the existing work plan for the existing UAC committee isn't on your agenda tonight. Even though we feel like there's it's an emergency, the actual Brown Act definition requires that there be an actual legal need to take immediate action, and requires that we not have been aware of the issue before we posted the agenda. Otherwise, we could just leave things off the agenda, mm-hmm. and then go, my hair's on fire. Now I want to have it on the agenda, and let's add it, and nobody knows we're going to discuss it. So the law was carefully written to disallow us from doing that. So the board can't take any action tonight to add anything to anybody's work plan because we don't have it on our agenda. Sorry, but mm-hmm. every once in a while.
Because we talked about how to take care of situations like this, where something comes up, I would like to get on a committee agenda without amending a work plan. Would it be acceptable to confer with the president and make sure that they knew that it was going to be on an agenda at the committee level? Would that be sufficient to get it there without amending a work plan, that kind of thing? I don't know.
That'll be up to the board.
Yeah.
Because the board has to set
discussion.
All their rules on this.
I really want that discussion. Okay. That's my report.
Thank you.
Ann, did you get the request?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. All right. I get to be the Finance Advisory Committee report maker this evening. The FAC approved the UAC's recommendation of staff's recommendation to I'm sorry. That's a lot of recommendations in one half of a sentence. To distribute the remaining funds from 2016-2017 Water Fund of $200,092,873. The FAC accepts the reserve numbers from the auditors. That would be $100,000 to vehicle reserve, $100,000 to the yard building workshop, and the remaining funds of $92,873 to capital improvements. The FAC approved the warrant report with the exception of Bob Stilt's invoice of $5,000. Staff has voided that check, and Stilts has reissued an invoice for $4,300. Half of the original contract price of $3,600 for January 15th to the 31st, and half of the current contract of $5,000 for $2,500 for February 1st to the 15th, for a total of $44,300. FAC also had some questions for the general manager. And if the answers were acceptable, the financials would be approved.
One of the changes or amendments we made was to the Bay Ridge. For some reason, the assessment charge was
not the correct amount in the total amount. So that's been changed. The amended budget has been passed out to everybody, and so the change was made to $54,831. In the administrative budget, there's interest income in this part of the monthly distribution that has been made by the bookkeeper for years. So there's interest income in the admin budget, and the question was, why is that in there? This distribution has been handed down to Stelt's office by Ira Ventura's office, and that was handed down to him by this office. So the bookkeeper is currently recording money marketing interest. It's about $350 a month, she says, in the following way. 301 gets 42.9%, 500 gets 48%, 602 gets 2.6, and 800 gets 6.5. I'm trying to find the 100 here, and I missed that. I apologize. So there's a small portion goes into the admin as well. And so this is something that perhaps FAC should look at and correct it. And if we don't want any any of the interest to go into the admin account, it's simple, we won't do it, but you need to go, you know, this somewhere along the way. We can't find out how far back this distribution has been going on. So we need to change it, and it's easily done. You just have to ask FAC or just do it through the board. How would you like to distribute it? So that's how that ended up in there. There was a question regarding the water stabilization reserve. As I mentioned, there's a list in the back of all the journal entries that have been made, and it accumulates to the amount that the auditor said that it was, which is $856,856. As far as the cap, for that water stabilization account, we found the resolution that was done in 2012-09, and it states the funding goal of this rate stabilization reserve shall be $32,000 annually until such time as the rate stabilization reserve reaches a total of 10% of the total annual water operation and maintenance budget as approved by the Board of Directors from time to time. That's the only sentence 10%. That they have about the cap. So I kind of feel that that's kind of vague. So that might be something that you want to assign UAC maybe to look at as in FAC. So because 10% is over our operation budget is 250. That's half almost.
Right. That's sweet.
Right.
That's what I mean. I didn't realize this fund had been around that long.
Yeah.
Back to 2010.
Yeah, so it's been around for a little while. So, yeah, at this point, we probably should stop and we should create a resolution or whatever, but bring this to FAC and to UAC and FAC. Bring this to UAC and FAC for your review and what you guys would like to do. And always, as always, you guys can move that money to a different account, but again, all through resolution and whatever. Yes, exactly. So let's go back to this. And those are the answers to those FAC questions. Besides the Bob Stelt's, the FAC did approve the warrant report, but we needed to change that Bob Stelt's check, and so we did that. We voided that check and we'll do it anyway. And does anybody have any questions?
Thank you very much. Directors' announcements of district and community interest and reports on attendance at public meetings, training programs, conferences, and seminars.
Nothing extra.
Okay. And we have no previously asked questions, so we have no response to those. All right, moving on to public comment for items on the administrative and committee reports and the consent agenda. At this point, are there any items anyone would like to pull?
No.
All right. Thank you very much. on public comment?
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker. And does anybody else find it ironic that the accountant's check was wrong? Just noticed. The little discussion you had about work plan made me think about something that I'd actually liked your board to consider, is sending a representative to the Board of Supervisors on Tuesday to observe so they can report back on the $10 million settlement associated with the wastewater project. The general manager's report with regard to the low-income assistance fund and her drawing a total of $40,000, your board authorized $30,000. She made a decision. She has a $5,000 spending authority. She does not have $10,000 spending authority. Whether she spends it or not, to draw money down, she needs to come and ask you. And it's done by resolution, and it's done in a public format. That didn't happen. The documentation that I've seen so far, I've done some public records requests for the bids on those septic retirings, doesn't support her argument that they were going to go over the $30,000. It just doesn't. In fact, what I've seen so far is dramatically lower than the average that was estimated. A question that has been asked, and I'll ask it again tonight, the previously asked questions, how much is the administration for the water conservation campaign? Nobody's tracking how much time and how much money that costs to have your district administer this water conservation campaign. Your general manager spoke to two budget adjustments that she did on her own, $25,000 for PERS, $10,000 for disposal. Again, those are to come before your board. But what I mentioned to you at the beginning of the meeting aren't those numbers. There are other numbers. There are numbers that are less. They're not increases. They're reductions. The numbers of your budget cannot change from report to report without your authorization. So something's going on that's either software, operator error, or someone's making decisions without the board's consent. That's all it can be, Lou. It's all it can be.
Thank you.
Richard Margetson, the committee report for finance was a little bit glossed over. I still don't think you can approve the allocation of the water reserves at this point. There's still been no discussion or I won't even use the word legitimate. There's been no proof that that is the number for sure. We know that the numbers that the auditor used were provided by the district. There's still a $258,000 item in that agenda item under the expense side that we don't know where that money's sitting, depreciation that was expensed. So I think your reserve balance to be transferred may actually be greater than what's stated. I also still have a problem with the financials being approved. Renee mentioned the issue with Bay Ridge. I'm the one that asked that question. How does the budget get inputted into MIP and that number change by $26,000 throughout that entire budget? It's one page. But the budget for Bay Ridge is one page. How does that get missed all of these months, that it's $26,000 off in the $64,000 or $63,000 or $64,000 budget? the rate stabilization reserve, you're already past the number that is supposed to be in there. And the 3Rs, or the water rate subcommittee, our recommendation was to keep track of that and to stop it, and for those reserves, the $32,000, to be moved up to contingency reserve, because that is the next one that needed to be built up, because the rate increase was going to increase the capital reserve. I didn't know we had to keep track of that. It should have been stopped. It wasn't put in, if you look, it wasn't put in 16. There's a double entry in 17. So at some point, somebody must have understood that it was supposed to stop, and then this last year it was doubled and put in the $64,000. But, and then my last comment, dealing with the committee structure. If your attorney's correct, then the Board of Supervisors runs their meetings completely inappropriately. They continually, almost weekly, direct items that the board votes on to be put on an agenda or sent back to staff or whatever. This board has done that for as long as it's been in existence. Renee's correct. The board can make a motion to have a committee look at something that's not part of the work plan.
Thank
without
you.
It coming back to the board. It's a two-month
Thank
waste
you.
Of time.
Thank you.
Lindy Owen, I would like to definitely thank the fire department for jumping up to help with fire safety issues. This is a community that is in the middle of a drought area, so I think everything we can do to work together with their recommendations and their knowledge is excellent. I would still like clarification on any desire from CAL FIRE to eliminate the ESAC meetings. I do not understand. I understand that 9 ESAC meetings were canceled, and that could be due to firefighting extras that were going on, but that is not the norm, and I would love to hear CAL FIRE tell us that these meetings are not important. On the subject of the $30,000 from the Community Foundation, again, I would like to see a reporting of the lateral connections for low-income people. They also had the option of going through the county, so this has been a very confusing set of information that I'm not sure all of the community got to know about, but the ones who were not hooked up, basically those who did not go out of their way to take care of the responsibility of meeting their deadlines, were almost awarded some extra help from our CSD fund that we had, and which I always thought should have gone in and joined the county's fund, because we didn't need to be administering from two different directions. And if we only got 4 of them done, I find that it would be nice to hear a little bit of a report about what's left financially and if that will go towards the county's program. So that's about it. Thank you.
I feel like I'm the happiness officer tonight. You guys don't look very happy. And none of you look really happy either. But I just wanted to say thank you to the sheriff, because I was on the corner the day that that you had to take into custody those youth. I think I saw Chuck down at the bar, and I was telling him about that story after moving from well, I'm allowed to say that Chuck's at the bar. I'm at the bar. But
it's a pub.
Yeah, it's a pub. It's where we get psychological treatment, and it is.
Actually, was that the day Bruce Gibson was having his event there?
Yeah. Absolutely, 100%. But I wanted to say thank you to the Sheriff's Department, because I lived in East Oakland for 20 years, and I can tell you I don't think that situation would have been handled like that, and you can let the guys know My mom, who is a retired attorney, we stopped the car because we saw how little, like small and fragile, the young people were. And we always hear so much bad stuff about youth and certainly interactions with police. And that was just, it was amazing. It's amazing that those boys are not only alive, because I think you had four sheriff's cars or maybe five there, but it was handled brilliantly. No, actually, there were like four or five. Yeah, five. Yeah, and it was truly, well, it was actually, for me, it was beautiful to actually see the recognition that those were children with a potential deadly arm, and those kids are alive. And so, thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, and you're
fine. When people aren't compliant, that's when things bad happen to them. They force our hand.
Thank you all. Do I have a motion to accept the consent agenda items? One of you two has to speak up.
I would I move to approve with the exception of D.
Okay. Do I have a second?
Second.
Nope. Can't do it. Oh, yes, sorry. So, all in favor?
I vote to approve with the exception of D.
All right, thank you very much. Okay. We're moving on to general action items now. And just as a reminder, item 7, D, E, and F have been tabled to the next meeting. Item 7, D, E, and F. Yeah. Okay. Public comment is, just as a reminder, and we have some new faces, public comment is limited to 3 minutes or otherwise at my discretion. And we will start with Mr. Acosta. And this is item A, the fire sprinkler service installation at 1220 3rd Street.
Good evening again, board, members of the community. I'm going to be presenting a staff report on fire sprinkler service installation at 1220 3rd Street here in Los Osos. Just real quick, I want to give you a quick background on why it's being brought forward to the board. When I arrived to the CSD, one of the first questions I was presented with was fire sprinkler installation that occurred in Los Osos. The way it was described to me that it was being accomplished at the time was not the way that I'm used to seeing it done or done in other CSDs or other municipalities. So I reviewed our district code, and sure enough, it states differently than the way it was being done. So unfortunately for the people who installed after I arrived, I had to give them the bad news that this is district code, that's my job to enforce it, and that's what I was going to do. So with that being said, the description of the project that we'll be talking about is at 1220 3rd Street. The residents there were required by the county to install a fire sprinkler service based off of improvements that they were doing throughout the permitting process. The district Title II of our district code requires that the installation of a fire sprinkler system maintain a separate service line and meter installation for fire sprinkler systems. Staff is requesting that the board make a recommendation regarding the two options available to the resident. Either continue with installation requiring installing a separate service line and meter for fire sprinkler system per district code,
or allow the customer to proceed with installation without installing a separate service line and meter, with the understanding that amendments to the district code will be presented for adoption at your April board meeting. After I read that sentence, I don't know if we're going to be able to adopt the changes, but I'd like to be able to present them at the April meeting and discuss them then, in case there's any input or changes from the board. But I will make some recommendations to the board on Title II of the district code. So option one, the motion that I'd like that the board could make, I move that the board allow the customer to proceed with the fire sprinkler system installation and install a separate service line and water meter per Title II of the district code. Or option two, I move that the board allow the customer to proceed with the installation without installing a separate service line and water meter, with the understanding that staff will make the necessary amendments to the district code for adoption at the April board meeting. Quick discussion on this matter before you guys make a motion. I'm going to read this per the staff report. The residents at the above address approach the district regarding installation of an additional meter for an existing dwelling on the property and the procedures for installation of a fire sprinkler system. Currently, there's a duplex on the property. Both units are currently provided water service through one meter. The customer wishes to meter each unit individually. It was explained that the installation of a second meter would require a separate service line installation, as well as a separate service line for the fire sprinkler system, along with a separate meter. Title II of the District Code, Section 2.02.10, Public and Private Fire Service, states, a detector check type meter shall be required on all private fire service connections. The customer's installation must be such as to effectively separate the fire system from that of the regular water service system. District staff made a recommendation that the customer have a 1.5-inch service line installed and manifolding it to service both the new meters rather than two separate service lines being installed. Staff explained the moratorium on trenching across the county roads for a 5-year period, and because of the moratorium, boring services would be required. District staff contacted a local boring company and requested quotes for the service on behalf of the customer. The customer, along with the fire sprinkler installation contractor, contacted district staff regarding the district code requiring a separate service line and meter for fire sprinkler systems. And I did get an earful from both of them regarding how the county and other entities within the county do their installation. District staff had a conversation with the customer and the contractor as well, explaining the code and also a willingness to make contact with other agencies for information on their policies. After contacting county staff and discussing their processes regarding the installation of fire sprinkler systems, county staff was able to provide state legislation, Senate Bill 1069, which was implemented in January 2017, and a CAL FIRE Information Bulletin 17-001 in regards to fire sprinkler installations. Senate Bill 1069 states, for an accessory dwelling unit described in Subdivision F, a local agency shall not require the applicant to install a new or separate utility connection directly between the accessory dwelling unit and the utility or impose a related connection fee or capacity charge. Senate Bill 1069 currently affects city and county agencies only, but will soon be a requirement for special districts as well. After review of these documents, district staff would like to be proactive and present your board with a change in district policy regarding this item. The change will be presented at the April board meeting. These changes would place us in line with surrounding agencies and State Senate Bill 1069. The changes would be drafted, presented, discussed, and implemented once the board has provided guidance. Just quickly regarding Title II of the district code, it needs to be overhauled. That's one of the assignments Renee handed to me when I got here, and working closely with her and her guidance and with staff input, we will be overhauling Title II, a lot of verbiage in there that needs to be removed. So, and this is one of the issues that I will present in Title II that we would like to change. So with that being said, I'd like the board to make a motion, either option one or option two.
Well, let me get this right. Option one basically says we're going to continue with a policy that we're going to change in a month from now. I mean, we're going to tell them to put in a second meter, but a month from now, we're not going to require a second meter. Okay. That seems crazy. But option two, they're kind of at risk unless they wait until we do officially make the changes. But I know they've moved. They're anxious.
Okay.
Yes, they're under a timetable, and like I stated, I'd like to say by next month we would make that change for sure, but I have to present it to the board. You guys would have to review it, make any recommendations and changes you guys like. So it could be longer than a month, but I do anticipate making the changes to put us in line with the Senate bill and also other surrounding agencies.
I move that we,
Okay.
One thing. You're going to have to go to public comment at some point in time in case there is something. But just so you understand, the process of changing the ordinance will take longer than just coming back next month, because the ordinances are going to take two readings, and they aren't effective until 30 days after the second reading. So the waiting period for someone would be even longer than common sense would direct.
So what risk would the owners be at if we went with the Senate Bill 1069 regulations?
I'm trying to think of a way to answer it shortly. And technically, you can't argue estoppel against a public agency. So we could let people violate the code, and then if we don't change the code, even though they've spent money, you can make them fix it. So that's their risk, is that you would decide to be really harsh and mean because you could.
Okay, then.
Just real quick, that's why we Renee and I discussed this, and we took into consideration the time frame that the customer is under, and we do realize that Title II needs a thorough overhaul, and discussing this with county and other agencies, we can make those changes once approved by the board. We did realize, like I say, after this report was written and I reviewed more on how long it could take to make a change, I knew it was going to put them it could put them sitting there for a while longer after they've already invested money. So, yes, sir.
Okay. Are there two separate residents in the same dwelling?
No, so there are two condos on this property broken up, and they're currently being served by one meter, but she wants to be able to...
Oh, but there's two family units?
Yes.
Do they like each other?
I think it's the same owner. I don't know if they like each other.
That's a good question, because if it gets kind of funky, they could maybe...
They're splitting the meters. Work. They're splitting the meters.
Yes. So I'm not sure about their likeliness of each other or how intimate they are, but I do know that she just wants to be able to meter both units. I believe she stated for future residents if they do decide to rent it to other people. So, but the fire service is going to be going into both units. It would just be going through one of the service lines, which would be the upgraded service line that they will be installing. They still have to install a separate service line to make this up, to be able to provide 2 meters. So they're still going to have to bear that cost, but it's going to be significantly less if we can pull in a service versus having to bring the boring service in.
Okay. Public comment?
Lindy Owen, I guess my question is, if they have the 1.5-inch line put in, I guess I have a few questions, actually, because I don't quite understand what they're up against. But if they had the 1.5-inch line put in instead of the standard, then the split could not have 2 meters on it. The meter is where it comes in at the street. So their choice is to separately meter two different condos, which the owner wants to do, but if they meet the fire requirements under the current number two thing that we're talking about, then they would have to put another separate line in. I guess I could use more clarification, but I think following the Senate bill, would be interesting to know what the penalty is if they do it in the direction that you feel that we should be going with the Title II and adapting it to the Senate bill requirements. So if there's a penalty, is that something that they could do for a couple months?
Julie Tacker, and the fire sprinkler installation is a requirement of the county, and while the district code may be rusty, stale, and you need to amend it, I think they're going to be required to do what the Senate bill says because the county wants the whole system to be compliant. The one question I had, I think boring under the street is better for the street, but I just drove down 11th Street the other day after reading this staff report and went bump, 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 bump. The county has cut open that street and paved it back over, so I don't quite understand. If there's a moratorium on cutting the street, then how come it's been cut a few times? Probably at least four patches, and 11th Street was probably the nicest street that we had because they did a full overlay. The other discussion related to amending the district's code, this is exactly what goes on a work plan for your committee. And there's going to be a long process. And it should have probably been happening over the last 10 years or so, and that, so that you're not biting it all off in one chunk, and that, you know, you go through it a bit by bit, maybe adopting revisions along the way. So I would expect and hope that you engage your committee on the Title II amendments. But I really think that the county's going to have the last say on implementing the fire sprinkler system, including SB 1069.
Any other public comment? Thank you. Do we have more discussion? Thank you. Then I would entertain a motion.
I move that we direct you, Jose, to inform these people that option two is that we're going to be changing the code. I'm quite sure what we're really telling them. It's okay. Take the risk. It sounds like a weird motion.
I would just phrase it then that you move approval of option two.
I move approval of option two.
Saving words. Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Great presentation.
Our next item is to select the CSD Board of Directors Water Conservation Entry winner. And I can't believe you're going to make us choose.
Yeah. Well, I can choose for you if you'd like, but I thought you guys would like to choose. So of the six, we've come down to, let me just start from the beginning. We've received 61 entries total from Monarch Grove Elementary and Baywood Elementary. The Board of Directors, each of you came in and picked your favorite six. Golden State came in and Los Osos Chamber came in, and we chose the top six winners that had the most check marks, if you will. The Chamber of Commerce and the Utility Advisory Committee have already chosen an entry. Golden State preferred that, since Monarch Grove is in their territory, that they picked the two entries that happened to be from Monarch Grove. So they chose two. So the two that are left, we were going to need to pick two from the district, one from UAC
and one from the board. So these are the two that are left. So if you pick one of these, the remaining one will go to the chamber, and because they're going to give that to, we're going to give that to, Golden State's going to give that to. So, and am I allowed to say which one Marshall wanted?
Yes.
Okay.
You can't vote for him, but you can say which one he wants.
You know, and I know out of the whole board packet, the one thing he said is, I really like the bear in the water holding hands. So he just wanted me to tell you guys that. So.
The one we don't pick, though, is the Chambers winner?
Yeah, the Chambers. Yeah.
So we got two winners.
Yeah.
Okay. I like the one Marshall likes.
Do I have a motion?
Which one is he like?
The bear in the water holding hands. Lesotho citizens,
I'm
saving
sorry.
Water together.
Excuse me. No, it's too early for a motion.
Public comment.
Do we have any further board discussion?
Oh, yeah, true. We got it.
Okay, then we'll do public comment. Seeing none. Is there any more discussion? And if not, I would entertain a motion.
I move to approve the entry that reads, Lesotho citizens save water, the bear and the water drop, shaking hands.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you. If only everything were so.
Yeah, it was a privilege to be above the judge and pick up some votes.
It was fun. Chief. This is item C, the discussion regarding Station 15 South Bay 4.0 staffing.
Good evening again. My name is Greg Alex. I'm your North Coast Battalion Chief. Presenting today 4.0 fire staffing for South Bay Fire Station. I want to preface it a little bit. 4.0, what is 4.0? And so 4.0, we use a staffing model in our state system of for every one position that's on the fire engine, it actually takes 3.3 positions to actually fill that assignment. And so in administrative talk, 4.0 just kind of tends to bleed over, and then a lot of people start saying 4.0. And when I asked a couple of our reserves, what's 4.0 mean? And of course, they didn't know. And so I felt like it might be good to at least say what that is about. I'm excited to present this to you. It's just informational, it's for discussion, and I'll start in. The discussion regarding cost associated with switching from the current level of service of 4.0 staffing from the San Luis Obispo County Fire Department, CAL FIRE permanent staff. Background on this is the original cooperative agreement between Los Osos Community Service Districts and CAL FIRE San Luis Obispo County Fire Department in 2004 provided a service level of two San Luis Obispo County Fire Department employees and augmented by one Los Osos CSD reserve 24 hours a day, 7 days per week. San Luis Obispo County fire staff immediately increased the number of firefighters in the reserve from 15 to 25 in order to provide that level of service requested. San Luis Obispo County Fire also initiated a reserve firefighter driver operator program that allowed the CSD reserve firefighters to respond to incidents inside and outside of the district. In 2005, the San Luis Obispo County Fire Department level of service staffing was adjusted at the request of the Los Osos CSD to two SLO County Fire employees and three SLO County, from two to three SLO County Fire employees and one reserve, which started to provide the 4.0 daily staffing. The funding source for this adjustment came from a special fire tax, Measure A5, which passed in 2005 by 76.86% of the voting public. During the campaign of Measure A5 and in conversations between SLO County Fire Department, management staff, and the Los Osos CSD Board of Directors, the Emergency Services Advisory Committee, and the Los Osos CSD General Manager, it was clearly stated that the ultimate goal of Measure A5 was to obtain 4.0 staffing of San Luis Obispo County Fire Department employees at Station 15, 7 days, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Firefighters for 4.0 staffing were temporarily, this was a temporary stopgap. However, no end date for this staffing was ever discussed nor recommended. The discussion here today, the general manager, Los Osos CSD general manager, inquired last month on the cost increase that would be associated with switching from the current level of service at Station 15 of three San Luis Obispo County Fire Department firefighters and one Los Osos CSD reserve firefighter to four San Luis Obispo County firefighters, just the four. The current 4.0 staffing level of service provides consistent 4.0 staffing on a daily basis and meets our OSHA policy 29 of the two in, two out, and the NFPA 1500 staffing recommendation. The projected cost for fiscal year 18-19 for the three county San Luis Obispo County Fire Department personnel staffing is $2,167,204, and that's attachment A. And then an additional $182,200 for the one to provide one Los Osos CSD reserve firefighter daily. The total annual cost, staffing cost, will be $2,349,404. The Los Osos CSD Reserve Firefighter Program provides the capability for us to cover behind incidents responses and for the incidents that require additional staffing. This program is currently staffed at 20 of 25. We're filled with no recruitment problems to date. The San Luis Obispo County Fire Department staff is confident that we can maintain this reserve program at this level. And the San Luis Obispo County Fire Department staff recognizes that the inability to maintain this current staffing model would be brought to the general manager's attention. If the Los Osos CSD provides direction to increase staffing to the four San Luis Obispo County Fire Department personnel, the required position classification is a fire apparatus engineer, or FAE. Or if the board desires, fire apparatus engineer paramedics could also be utilized. This increase will require additional funding and the hiring of three additional engineers to provide the one additional firefighter daily. Thank you.
Do I have any discussion from the board?
So, I'm not quite
more. I'm
completed.
You were just pausing. Okay.
Yes. So, yeah. Staffing. So, staff recommendation. Staff is requesting that the board make a recommendation regarding the two options listed in the staff report, either to continue with the current 4.0 level staffing utilizing one reserve firefighter or provide direction to staff to increase the level of service to four county employees. The San Luis Obispo County Fire Department recommends that the Los Osos CSD maintain the current staffing model of the three county employees and one reserve. In motions, you have two motions. Option one, move to receive this staff report and maintain the current level of service staffing of three county employees and one reserve. Or motion two would be to receive this report and provide further direction to staff to increase the daily staffing to four county employees. The financial impacts to the board, determined to increase to the four county employees daily. There are two position classifications available, as I spoke of. The cost projection increase to the cooperative fire agreement for these options are as follows. Option one, three engineers and not paramedics, would cost $190,446 individually. We have to times that times three. And that comes out to $571,338 per year. That's attachment B of your report. And that would be a total increase to the Fire Protection Cooperative Agreement to $2,744,669 annually. Option two, it would be to increase to paramedic engineers that it could operate and also serve in the paramedic. Cost of that are $213,673 individually. And then we have to times that times three. Comes out to $641,021 per year. That's attachment C of the report. total cost of the annually for the cooperative fire agreement between the two would now be $2,816,572 annually for the personnel costs. You can see there's a bullet point about the differences between the engineer and the paramedic, and that was $69,000 for that difference. These projections also include the 12.01 CAL FIRE admin fee, as well as the 3.5 countywide overhead admin fee. That concludes my report. I'm available for questions.
Questions? Discussion?
Ouch. I have nothing right now.
Okay.
Yeah. In terms of a fire that is confronted, or a series of fires that look similar over a period of time, how do these differ in what this one can do versus that one can do?
So our paramedic or our fire apparatus engineers are definitely trained to a higher level than a reserve firefighter from the CSD.
Okay, yeah.
They can operate equipment. They can. They've been through our fire academies that's located in the Sacramento area, and they go through extensive training on extinguishing fire from the fundamentals all the way up to operating in an extended attack operation. So there's actually a benefit to that as opposed to the reserve. But as far as the daily activity, those, even though they're an engineer, we still have to have the firefighter pull the hose and squirt the water, whether they're a captain, a battalion chief, whoever that is. So the ranking structure there is the overall goal is still met with the 4-0 and one reserve. Does that answer the question?
I guess.
I do have something. Now, in the past, it seems like one of the reasons that we were looking at this is the turnover that we were having with reserves. And it seems that maybe that's not a problem. It hasn't been recently. Because your report indicates, and we don't seem to have that recruitment problem we used to.
Yes. So I think there's two different bullet points on that. One is the reserve programs around us and the other agencies have been experiencing recruitment problems as well as retention problems. Mm. I believe that they we're seeing more people apply here for our reserve program. Mainly because of its central location within the county, and I think just in general, we're a good training ground for the fire department personnel. We have a great reputation. We're providing the best fire service in this entire county to this community with paramedic and also our ocean rescue programs. And so I believe there is a want by people to work for our for your community.
So it's more a matter of we're going to maybe have a higher turnover because people want to come here, get their training, then find jobs elsewhere.
It could. Our average, I was looking at that too, what I came up with was our average is 3.5 years per reserve when we hire them,
okay,
which is much higher than what we're seeing in the other areas.
Oh. Okay.
While that's true, you have community members, like we talked about the two gentlemen we honored with 10 years or more of service. And so those two gentlemen are also operators for us and have been serving this community for 10 years. And so, yes, it would be my opinion that while we do have retention issues at times, and they come in waves, right? So suddenly a bunch of departments will hire and then we have to recruit. What I'm finding is that we're able to recruit and put the folks back in place to keep our numbers up.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes.
So in your forward thinking and knowledge and imagination, what would happen to our reserve pool if we went to what I've been calling the official 4.0 staffing?
Well, as you know, we work for you, so it would come back to you to say, would you like to keep the reserve program or would you like to dissolve it? Our recommendation is that reserve program plays a critical role in our ability to do what's called surge protection, and that's the ability to have people on standby that can come in when we get committed to other incidents and come in behind that, as well as the callback. We have as we get committed on other incidents, we can do a callback and staff engine 215, or if there's no 215, I can bring in other engines, and your local CSD reserves can staff that. Our recommendation to you would be that we keep the reserve program and look at opportunities between the two. Yes, sir.
Okay.
Oh, sorry.
Go ahead. I'll go.
Do the people who work here, serve here, do they live here?
Currently, we have 6 that do. And then there's another 3 that are very close with in the Morro Bay area and just outside in San Luis. And then we are recruiting also outside of the area. We have one gentleman as far as Lompoc that comes
this
in.
This is a follow-up. I think the cost of living here is going to keep going up.
Yes, sir.
Because you can drive down any street, the houses look better, and so on and so forth. So would that be a pressure for people to stay here?
I guess it could be. For the fire department, they're predominantly within 20 to 30 years old, so they're young adults that are trying to find their way in most cases. Yeah. Also, so as the gentleman that is off to Mexico, to when I asked, he wanted to stay on the company for a year. I said, I'm not going to pay CalPERS for you for a year. I'm sorry, you got to go. And but he'd like to come back. But they do ebb and flow to go about their lives. But we have a great pool of folks to pull from. And so I feel like on the last one, we had over 30 applications that we received. Of those, about 20 made it through the backgrounds and the physical agility tests. And when I talked to Cambria and Morro Bay, they were only seeing 4 and 5 applicants. So, again, I'm not positive what the difference is between our communities other than they're coming here.
Okay, so continuing on with discussion of the reserves, what do you imagine would happen to our large and apparently already trained reserves when they're not getting regular work?
It could have an impact, and if they weren't being called upon daily to come in and do staffing. We do trainings, and again, we're a specialty program here, right? We have the ocean rescue, and we have the paramedic services, and this community is active. We're running 120 calls a month, and some of those don't, sometimes there's a day where we only get a couple calls, but there's days where we're running 10, mm-hmm. and that's really what they're looking for. They're looking for the experience level. And what's great about our community here is that it's providing the ALS service, the advanced life support with paramedics. And it's not everywhere where you get to work with those types of trained folks. And they get a better ability and understanding of how to do medical aids. And they get to frequently use those skills. And so that's why I think they're coming.
Okay. So of the options that you've presented...
Yes, ma'am.
What do you want?
We would like to recommend that we stay at the current level. You have 4-0 staffing today. And so to increase that by the $260,000 to put more engineers, it doesn't change our ability in which to deliver water to a fire. It doesn't speed us up in that manner. And so you're being provided that through your current staffing model that you've staffed.
Okay, thank you. I'll take public comment now.
Lindy Owen, I have the least amount of information about emergency services, unfortunately. Again, this is something I wish that had gone to committee. ESAC, a couple of months' worth of discussions would have clarified this for me. I guess I like the option of sticking with what we've got if that's satisfactory. I guess I had a question about whether they have floats between Cal Fire and if we have current overtime issues that come into play with any of this. And I do appreciate our fire department's excellent, so thank you.
Julie Tacker again, and Lindy's absolutely right. This should have gone to committee, where it's actually been cursory discussed. That's not the right word, but I know you know what I mean. For the full 14 years I was on the committee, what the staff report doesn't do and the committee would have is provide deeper discussion, more in-depth questions. This is where your general manager would have to come in, giving you the financial structure in which you could accomplish the goal. Because you don't have what the current revenues are. You don't have what the current expenses are. All you have before you is what the chief can provide, and that's what the cost to the cooperative agreement is. So you don't know what all the other costs there are associated with running the fire department to even know if you could have afforded this. And that's where the finance committee comes in as well. So this is the work that is done at the lower levels of your advisory committees, and then they make recommendation to you with a fully vetted process that you simply haven't had. And with all due respect, we heard many times that we had reserve turnover and shortages or troubles recruiting, and so this is a different story than I've heard recently. Certainly, we're not included in the most recent new times because we are. If we have no recruitment problems, that's different than everybody else. But to retire the reserve program is a cost savings. So how is that realized, and where does it balance out? These are just some of the questions that a committee vetting process would have answered, and you would be better armed to make a decision tonight and how you would like to go forward. The community goal was the true 4.0 staffing, and I don't know if you were here and voted for that assessment, but to change course from the goal, you'll have to explain that to the voters.
Hi, I'm Vita Miller again, and I was on the Emergency Services Committee for at least 8 years, maybe longer. The suggestion for 4.0 staffing came up many times. We went through discussions after discussions after discussions, and this is what you folks don't have, okay? You do not get it. In all the many times we went through it with a fine-tooth comb, talking about the financing of 4.0 staffing, I certainly like the idea of having another paramedic. For the simple fact that the chief gave his report, and I believe you said there was something like 118 calls, and 70-some of them were medical calls. I mean, that's primarily what this fire station is responding to, are medical calls. And I'm telling you, I've been a nurse for 35 years, these paramedics are top-notch people. They know what they are doing. I just cannot praise them enough, okay? I saw them in action in the ERs, saw them bringing patients in. I'm very familiar with what they do. And, so we always did recommend 4.0 staffing, but obviously we have a new fire chief, and we could review it again if we had been having meetings. We could have gone through it again. We could have had discussions. We could have brought it, our recommendations, to this board. And I just think it's a shame that you don't have that advantage right now. And are you going to make a decision tonight on the information that you've just gathered? I find that hard to believe, and I'm sorry, I think it needs to go to an emergency services committee for continued discussion and financing. How would we finance 4.0 staffing and the additional paramedic? So, thank you.
Tom Wright, Los Osos, past member of the ESAC committee many years. There are other options to disbanding the reserve program to go to 4.0 staffing, what we call 4.0 staffing, paid call firefighter program, a volunteer program, volunteerism. It's alive in Los Osos. The chief's report, as good as it was, and I'm a supporter of the fire department, people who know me know that, no word about the squad, the rescue squad. Is it coming? Is it here? Is it done? You know, that's a board item that the committee used to deal with. The ambulance is 10 minutes away. And when it goes by, the engines go by, I look at my watch. On a good day, 10 minutes, there goes the ambulance. They come from North Morro Bay. Back-to-back calls. Having four paramedics, back-to-back calls. I don't know how many there were in the last 3 months. 10, 18, I don't know. Maybe two heart attacks at once, opposite ends of town. So two paramedics stay with one patient. They can't leave that patient because that ambulance is 10 minutes away. The other two paramedics on the 4.0 staffing, they can go help me who's dying of a heart attack and can't wait the 10 minutes, the 20 minutes, the reserve guy. It's not just the other people when that ambulance or the fire engine goes by. It's you, the next one.
Richard Margaretson, this is too serious an issue to decide tonight. A little history. Back when CAL FIRE first started with the district, the chief is right, it was 2.0 with reserves. The way it got to 3, I'm not going to toot my own horn. I don't do that very often, but in this case I am. I'm the one that did the analysis to prove that the revenue stream would support the increased level of service. And that was a long fight. And I went to Chief Turner with the information. In fact, there were 13 different proposals that were bandied back and forth. I don't know if Ann was here. She might remember. I think Chuck remembers. Those are the only people I know up there that would remember this. But I went to Chief Turner and gave him my analysis, and he believed it could happen. And the reason it didn't go to 4.0 then with that funding is we didn't have a reserve account for vehicle replacement. So we couldn't go to 4.0 then because we had vehicles that needed to be replaced. We had no reserve. And the CAL FIRE contract the first year saved this community $250,000 over what we were paying before they came on board. That led to the vehicle replacement reserve and the possibility of going to 3.0 staffing. At the committees were meeting weekly then. The finance committee was meeting weekly. And Dan Turner, Chief Turner, in one of those meetings said, the public has proven that this board can approve this for this community, and 3.0 staffing makes a difference. And he gave this community 10 days of free service on them so they could get to a board meeting to approve that. He basically forced their hand, but that took, I don't know if Ann was here, but I mean, it took probably 4 months to get to that point. But that was all done through the process. And Phil told me for years, Phil said, that increased level of service in this community saved lives. Save lives. This is too serious an issue. I don't know where I am on this yet, because I don't know where we are with the finances. I don't know how it would be funded. I don't know what we would do with the reserves. But there needs to be more discussions. And Phil and I used to meet on a regular basis, at least an average of once every 6 months, in his office to talk about this. There was a chalkboard in his office at one point that had an analysis of how we could possibly afford this years ago. Never came up. It's been asked for to be on agendas and in committees for years. You've heard how many times 4-0 staffing needed to be before the committees. To end this discussion tonight is inappropriate. And without the rest of the board here, you're making a mistake. Vicki, you could let people finish their last sentence. You know, that's rude.
We come as volunteers.
Hi, I'm Jerry Dillingham, and Madam President, you can gavel me down. You've done it before in a nice way. You really should maybe pull this off until the full board's here to discuss it. What they didn't tell you tonight was, yeah, it's a 10-minute delay for the ambulance to get here, but there's been several times where there's been three calls, not just back-to-back, and you have an ambulance coming from Cambria. So, and that's where your reserves come into play, is they go to that third call, they'll go to that second call. The reserve program probably could be tweaked. I don't like CalPERS for the reserves, but legally that's what you have to do on some of them. But the reserve program, out of that station up there in the 35 years that I was there, we graduated battalion chiefs, captains, engineers, division chiefs, regional chiefs. So it's a great program. I'd hate to see it go away, maybe refine some, but it's all about money. And it does have to go back into committees and look for that money. So if you could just maybe put it off for a week or two and think about it, and I appreciate it. Thank you.
Jacket came from you guys.
Not very many. I'd just like to state that it's not on as an action item. So it wasn't contemplated that the board would be taking any action tonight. It was just so the fire department could make their presentation and you could hear it.
Well,
It's listed as discussion on the agenda, but there are motions.
There are motions in their report, and it's discussion.
I know, but the description in the agenda says it's on for discussion only, so it's not an action item. And even though we put it under general action items, that would only contemplate you telling us to come back later on something. It wouldn't contemplate a decision tonight.
Well, I'm in total agreement that this has happened way too fast. Given the number of years that this topic has been kicked around, it takes more than a report that was dropped on me at the meeting, not prior to the meeting, at the meeting, for me to really... And these numbers all look good. I think it's a great summary of what's here. Was it in part of our packet?
No, but I did send an email to the board and posted it on the website and we did our copy.
Emailed?
No, today.
Okay. But I think it's too critical because we don't have the analysis everybody's talked about. If we chose to go here, what would it take to get here? You know, we know what it would cost, but we don't know the route it would take to accomplish that, and we at least need to know that. And I just think that it's been... a topic for, well, since the last special fire tax was passed. So we can't just pull the plug without really vetting it and letting the community weigh in. So I'm not ready to do anything with it tonight. And fortunately, it's apparently just a discussion item anyway.
I agree.
Do you have any more comments or discussion?
I got as much as I could. With the questions I asked and listening, but I still think if we have five heads here, some with much greater experience than I have in this domain, we might come to a better solution. So I'd like to push it forward.
Sure. Again, this is a discussion item.
Yeah.
Thank you. Good. Okay. So there is no action, so we'll move on. And we have a pulled consent agenda item. Yep.
I didn't pull anything. I just voted not to approve it.
Okay. Excuse me. I got all excitable there. All right. Future agenda items?
I'm still of the opinion that this board should go right to the recycled water contracts the county's preparing. I mean, I want to take it through UAC if that's the way we need to do it. Get it on our work plan and do it. I think our board should be weighing in on that. And I've mentioned that before. I mean, months before. And apparently it's just not a topic anybody wants to tackle here.
So we're adding that. Yes, we are. So I have a possible future agenda item. A member of the public brought up whether or not the general manager should track hours used for preparing the conservation plan. Vice President O'Hilsky and I will discuss this when we talk about the next agenda. Any closing comments?
Thank you for the breakdown on the water rate stabilization. It helps just to see exactly what's happened there. And, yeah, I appreciate that. And thanks to all the kids who submitted entries for the water conservation program. That's where we have to build this effort is just make it a part of life. It's just part of the way we think about water is to save it.
Starting with the children, get them when they're young.
Mm-hmm.
Closing comments? I wish we didn't have somebody walk out in anguish. I wish we didn't have somebody walk out in anguish.
It's still not. You need to turn your light. Better now.
I wish we didn't have a little episode of walking out with, I couldn't walk and talk more. I hate it.
Vicki?
Yes.
I just wanted to remind everybody about the March 23rd Business Expo at the South Bay Community Center that's put on by the Chamber. That's where we're going to do the conservation announcements for all the winners. All the kids will be there that they don't know. We've contacted their parents, so it's going to be a surprise for them. And we will have the conservation videos there as well on display. And we will also be displaying by then we should have the fire truck so that we just purchased. So the fire department will have that there. They're going to have their own kind of booth outside. So anyways, we wanted to make it as big a community event as we could. So we hopefully everybody that can make it can make that event.
Anything else? No. In that case, I'm adjourning the meeting.